Everybody ready? This is the Charlie Polillo Show on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Presented by Tri-Eagle Energy, your born and raised Texas energy provider. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Charlie Polillo.
It is Thursday. It is the noon hour. Well, Central Time, if you're listening via app from afar or joining us from another time zone. You know what time it is where you are. But Thursday noon central means Phil Steele in our weekly college football preview. So away we go. I trust all is well, Phil, despite number one, number four, number five, all idle this week. It'll be worth the wait for Alabama and LSU next week. So let me start with Clemson. Man, there was a time the idea that Florida State would be a 17-point home underdog would have been preposterous. Any chance on, I don't know, program muscle memory, fluke, Clemson being bored, that Florida State gives a viable upset run at the Tigers?
Yeah, I could make a case for Florida State, and here it is. They're playing better football. They just went on the road as a big dog against Miami of Florida and only lost by one, a game they actually led like 20-0. And last year, Florida State was not a good team, went into Death Valley, played Clemson, and in the fourth quarter, with 6 minutes to go in a game, they're down by three, and they've got the ball on Clemson's side of the field at the 40-yard line. So, yeah, Florida State can make a game of it, but I like Clemson to win this game, and here's why. And it's the domination at the line of scrimmage. Florida State's offensive line is still woeful, and they're taking on that Clemson defensive line. I don't know if DeAndre Francois is going to have any time to throw in this game, so I think as long as Clemson's defensive line dominates, as I think they will, Clemson should be able to go on the road and get a comfortable win. And 17 seems pretty high for Florida State being a home dog, but I believe they're actually 0-5 as a home dog their last five times.
First top 25 matchup we hit, Phil, is the Pac-12, which looks dead for the playoff, but they'll keep playing games. Stanford favored a field goal over 14th ranked 6-1 Washington State for Mike Leach.
Yeah, Washington State sure was impressive last week. And if you just think of how Stanford's been playing this year, failing to even get to 100 yards per game rushing, and the way Washington State's been playing, I think Stanford probably feels like the home underdog here right now, Charlie. But here's why I like Stanford in this one. First of all, the shoe is on the other foot. Last week, Washington State was at home off a bye, fired up and ready, and they were catching Oregon off a huge road win, or huge home win, over Washington, where the crowd was fired up and they charged the field after the game. And that's why Washington State jumped out to a 27-0 lead. Well, this week, it's Washington State off of the huge win. Game day was on hand. You couldn't get much more pumped up. Washington State played their A++++ game last week. Now they got to go on the road and play Stanford. Stanford's had a couple extra days to prepare. They went on the road, took care of business against Arizona State. I was thinking Arizona State could beat them in that one. So now they're getting back slowly. They'll feel like a home underdog, and I think Stanford gets the upset. Remember, Washington State went on the road against USC and lost by three. Stanford beat that same USC team at home 17-3. So I'm gonna call for what I'm thinking is an upset, even though the Vegas has got Stanford favored by three.
All right, Phil, Big Ten. Before we get to Saturday's games, man, I know Ohio State got clobbered last year at Iowa, but even more stunning what happened at Purdue. I can't believe the Buckeyes were held to 20 points and basically just got obliterated.
Yeah, Purdue just dominated the football game, and that's hard to believe. Although Ohio State in this one did have 546 yards, their problem was they had five trips in the red zone, Charlie, resulting in 6 points. So they couldn't get it going in that respect. But now Purdue's off that big win at home, charge the field. And now they have to go on the road and play a very disrespected Michigan State team. I mean, Michigan State's got three losses this year, so they deserve the lack of respect. They deserve not to be ranked. But they're a pretty proud team, and they're back to where they should be, which is as an underdog, even though they're a slight favorite here. Once again, they'll feel like an underdog here against Purdue. Everybody's calling for Purdue to win. And I just think you're going to see Michigan State off a loss play their best game at home versus a Purdue team that's off their A++ game and now has to travel. I like Michigan State in that one to upend Purdue.
All right, Phil, it's a scramble in the JV division, the West and the Big Ten. Wisconsin on brand name and pedigree and all those offensive linemen and Jonathan Taylor, I know. But on the road, Wisconsin's a 6.5-point favorite at Northwestern. It's Northwestern that is 4-1 in conference. Wisconsin, Iowa, Purdue, all 3-1, chasing a Rose Bowl bid.
Yeah, and look what Northwestern's been doing this year, even without a ground game. I mean, they have not been able to run the football all year ever since Jeremy Larkin went out. Northwestern only lost to Michigan by 3 at home, went on the road, beat Michigan State, and as you mentioned, 4-1. They went on the road and beat Purdue 31-27 this year. And they're at home with a solid defense. They're holding opponents to 18 yards below their season average. And they've got size up front to be able to slow down that Wisconsin run game. Now, Wisconsin does average 6.3 yards per carry, but their deep rush defense giving up 5.1. And I think the key player here could be Isaiah Bowser. Who's he? Well, he's a Northwestern running back that hadn't been used much this season, but came onto the scene last week and rushed for 108 yards to actually give them a semblance of a running game. They've got the quarterback edge with Clayton Thorson. Even though he only has a 9-7 ratio this year, I've been impressed with him. And I think Northwestern gives Wisconsin everything they want in this one. I like the home underdog there. Wisconsin probably escapes with the win, but I think it'll be tight just like the Michigan game was.
Phil's 17th-ranked Penn State against 18th-ranked Iowa. The Nittany Lions have already lost twice at home this season. Iowa's only had 2 road games, won them both. The Nittany Lions favored 6.5.
Yeah, and I was thinking the line was going to be 3.5 because I think these two teams are pretty even. So naturally, I'm leaning with the underdog here. It's tough to beat Penn State and Happy Valley, but look at their last 3 games. That loss to Ohio State doesn't look as good right now because the Buckeyes, I mean, they've been struggling against everybody. They give up a late touchdown pass against Michigan State, and then last week against Indiana, they're outgained by 137 yards by the Hoosiers. Meanwhile, Iowa is a legitimate team. For years, they've been doing it with defense and special teams and an average offense. Well, this year they're doing it with defense, giving up just 258 yards per game. In fact, they're holding opponents to 126 yards per game below their season average, which is number 6 in the FBS. They've got the special teams. And on offense, they've got a couple of dynamic tight ends in Hockenson and Fant. Nate Stanley's got a nice 16-6 ratio this year. And they're actually putting up close to 30 points per game, or 31 points per game, which is actually more than they normally do. So I think it's a dangerous Iowa team here. I think Penn State could escape with a win, but I'll take big points like that on the road with a very good Iowa team.
All right, Phil, a twofer in the ACC, small road favorites both. Did, as I hope, Clemson shatter North Carolina State in visions of grandeur as the Wolfpack plays at Syracuse and Miami given a field goal 3.5 at Boston College?
I'm going to go with both home underdogs, Charlie, and so I think that's going to make you rather happy. You know, NC State, just what you said, they were fired up, they were unbeaten, they were thinking we are going to contend in the ACC. Then they had reality come to them. A soft early season schedule showed that, maybe they aren't as good as they thought. Their bubble has burst. Meanwhile, Syracuse last week struggled with North Carolina, but they were in the usual role of favorite. Because Syracuse doesn't play well as a favorite. They're used to being the underdog. Remember when they smacked Florida State? They were all fired up as a home dog. And here they're a home dog once again. We've seen them upset Clemson last year as a home dog. So I think Syracuse back in their best role. They've got 2 good quarterbacks in Dungy and DeVito. DeVito had to come off the bench in their last one. And I think as a home dog, I like Syracuse to pull the outright upset there. And that should make Charlie pretty happy on Saturday night. Now, the other game is actually on a weeknight here, and it's Miami traveling to face Boston College. Right. I've been sort of unimpressed with Miami. Yeah, their defense is great, no doubt about it. In fact, when they went to Virginia, they only allowed 231 yards. Florida State only had 200 yards on them, but their offense is struggling. The offensive line hasn't looked great. Quarterback play, you know, they started out with Rozier. They went to Nkosi Perry. Now they're back to Rozier. Boston College can get pressure on the quarterback. They're at home, and it's red bandana night. And if we've seen Boston College on red bandana night, you know, they play like their hair is on fire. In fact, last year when they played Florida State, 35-3 was the final score. I like Boston College on red bandana night to pull the upset.
All right, Phil, the first SEC game. What am I missing? Missouri, 0-3 in conference. I know at home, but favored 7 over Kentucky. The 12th-ranked Wildcats, 6-1, 4-1 in conference. For a year and a half, you've been noting what Drew Locke does against good defenses. Why is Missouri favored by 7?
That's a good question. I have him favored by 3. I gave him the home field edge in it, Charlie, but surprised to see that one come up at 7. And as you touched on, Drew Lock, amazing when he's taken on Power 5 teams with losing records or non-Power 5 teams, something like a 64-10 ratio. But when he takes on good ones, like the last three, Georgia, South Carolina, Alabama, 1-5 ratio, overall 21 touchdowns, 26 interceptions. Kentucky's got a damn good defense this year. In fact, they're holding opponents to 108 yards per game below their season average, 11th best in the country, 53% completions. They get 20 sacks. I do not see Drew Lock having a great deal of success. Now, my concern is I watched Kentucky's offense last week against Vanderbilt, and they were feeble. They ran the football decently, but they couldn't throw a football. 3-9 for 18 yards. That could get scary on the road against a Missouri team that actually held the line of scrimmage against Georgia when they played them. I thought Missouri outplayed Georgia at the line of scrimmage, played a good game at South Carolina. So I think Missouri probably deserves to be a favorite, but no way by a touchdown. 3 points at the most. I'll take the dog.
All right, we grab our break. Coming back, part two with Phil. Georgia, Florida, both UT and A&M, and U of H, South Florida. Real good schedule this Saturday in college football. Message for Tri-Eagle Energy. Talking about your electricity. Tri-Eagle, Texas-born, serving customers since 2003. A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. A lot of unsavory companies have come and gone. Tri-Eagle Energy, rock solid with more than competitive rates. How about thousands of people cutting their rates, 20-25%, some even more than that, with a 5-minute switch to Tri-Eagle Energy. No gimmicks, no surprises promised for your bills. Weekly usage reports, so you always know where you stand. And you can make the switch like that. Just pull a recent invoice of yours, find the line per kilowatt hour what you're paying, and get a straight-up comparison, see how much they can save you. If it turns out you're in a great deal now, good for you. If not, you can switch like that. Toll-free call 877-93-EAGLE. 877-93-EAGLE or online, TRIEagleEnergy.com. TRIEagleEnergy.com on the phone or online. Get in promo code Charlie. Mention it on the phone. Type it in the promo code box online, and it'll actually whittle away a couple of more percent from your already likely deeply discounted rate. That's TRIEagleEnergy.com, 877-93-EAGLE, promo code Charlie. And get in. You heard it on ESPN 97.5 or SportsMap 94.1.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is the Charlie Polillo Show on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Presented by Tri-Eagle Energy. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Charlie Polillo.
Back half of our weekly college football preview with Phil Steele before hitting another big batch of games. Phil, website, press box, ESPN, fill in some details.
Appreciate that, Charlie. Once again, head to the website, PhilSteele.com. Friday morning, I will have the Phil Steele Plus tutorial plus some free selections. Those things have been doing amazing, so that's PhilSteelePlus.com to check that out. Go to ESPN for my top seven plays for this weekend right now. That's ESPN.com/PhilSteele. ESPN.com/PhilSteele. Get my top seven plays of the week and also get my Vegas power ratings. Find out who Vegas has as their top 25. It greatly differs from the AP poll. That's ESPN.com/PhilSteele. And finally, my website, InsideThePressBox.com. You get all 56 games this weekend. My computer's forecast, my forecast. Colleges had a losing week last week, so the last 5 weeks are down to 22-11-1. Still pretty good. And you can get my college and NFL newsletter this week. Normally $29.99, just $9.99 when you type in the code word cover. That's cover, or get $20 off any yearly package. So go to InsideThePressBox.com and type in the code word cover.
All right, Phil, SEC East playoff dreams elimination game. Seventh-ranked Georgia, ninth-ranked Florida, dogs favored by 7, both teams off an open week. I would think better time for Georgia to recover from the LSU loss.
Yeah, and, you know, watching Georgia, they're not as dominant at the line of scrimmage as they've been, as they were last year, especially on the offensive line and the defensive line as well. And you go back to that Missouri game back at the end of September, I thought they got pushed around a little bit at the line of scrimmage, and that was a little bit of a concern for me heading into last week. Well, LSU proved why it was a concern. They had a 275-113 rush edge in that game. Meanwhile, Florida, start of the year, they were missing a few players off that defensive front seven. They got them back. They've been playing great football the last 4 weeks. Against that very same LSU team, they had the rushing edge, 215-180. They might have the fastest defense in the SEC. Felipe Franks playing better. He's got a 15-5 ratio. And Jake Fromm actually has the lowest completion percentage on third down in the ACC this year. So add it all up. I'm taking the dog there with Florida.
To the Big 12, Iowa State or Texas Tech? Red Raiders on the road getting about a field goal.
I'm not going against either of these two teams, Charlie. Texas Tech has been much better than expected. They're playing good defense, as I expected they would this year. I sort of threw that out the window after the first couple of games, but they're playing the type of defense I expected. Offensively, Alan Bowman's back after that collapse long, and look how they played in the last game. Granted, it was Kansas, but still, he has been a dynamic QB. So they're a tough team to go against, but I ain't going against Iowa State and Ames. Saw what they did to West Virginia a couple games back, and they're their defense is actually holding opponents to 137 yards per game below their season average. That's fifth best in the country. And no matter who Matt Campbell plugs in at quarterback, they do well. The latest star, Brock Purdy, hitting 75% with a 7-2 ratio. I think it's going to be a great game to watch. I think it's a coin flip game and spreads about the same area as well. So I'm just going to enjoy watching that one.
All right, Phil, a week from Saturday, huge game, West Virginia at Texas. Well, not so huge if the Mountaineers look ahead and mess up against Baylor. WVU given 14. You think it's focused?
I think they will be focused. Why? They're off a loss, off a bye. So there's no more reason to be focused. And you look at what Baylor did against Texas. They played them to the wire, but Texas was off the big game against Oklahoma and a big favorite. So now Baylor's going on the road, taking on a focused West Virginia, which is off a miserable game. I mean, they were out first down and outgained 408-152 in that game. So I like West Virginia to bounce back with the win there.
Sixth-ranked Texas, a field goal 3.5 favorite at Oklahoma State. No reason for the Longhorns to get caught looking ahead. Playing in Stillwater, they played a classic defensive battle game last year, 13-10. What do you see this year? Oklahoma State's offense, not very good.
Yeah, it sort of smells like a trap game with Vegas only having the number at 3.5 on this one, the way Oklahoma State has played, but I still like Texas. You look at Texas's defense in Big 12 action, holding opponents to 88 yards per game below their season average. And Oklahoma State in Big 12 action, allowing opponents 78 yards per game more than their season average. Large edge defensively to Texas. Texas has played the much tougher schedule. They've been playing mostly upper echelon Big 12 teams. Oklahoma State has been inexperienced in playing lower level echelon Big 12 teams. So now you've got a Texas team that, granted, Ellinger's banged up and questionable for the game, but I still think Texas with a much stronger defense, capable of going on the road. And it's been a road-dominated series, Charlie. I think the road team is something like 8-1 in the series against the spread.
To Texas A&M at Mississippi State, the Aggies 3-1 in league. The Bulldogs 1-3 in the league. Mississippi State is not even averaging 10 points per game in conference. I get they faced Kentucky, Florida, and LSU in the three games where they barely scored at all. But what do you think of Mississippi State as a field goal or under favorite?
Surprise or favorite, to be honest with you. Texas A&M is a team that, if you check out my Vegas power ratings on ESPN.com/Phil Steele, you will see Texas A&M as a top 10 team. I mean, their two losses have been to Clemson and Alabama. Well, a lot of teams will have those two as losses. Overall, they're holding opponents to 123 yards per game below their season average this year. Kellen Mond has proven he's capable of beating tough defenses, or at least putting up some yards and points against them. And if you look at SEC action this year, A&M is plus 92 yards per game, and Mississippi State is minus 30. And the last time Texas A&M took on a quarterback that was a great runner and couldn't throw the ball, which pretty much sums up Nick Fitzgerald, was Terry Wilson at Kentucky. An amazing stat from that game. Texas A&M did not allow Kentucky a single snap from the opposite side, from the Texas A&M side of the 50-yard line that entire game. In fact, had a 21-8 first down edge, 390 to 178 yard edge. I like Texas A&M to win that one on the road.
Phil, this is not at all a prediction, but is A&M maybe the only two-loss team in the country with any shot at the playoff? It's only one conference loss. I mean, Alabama would have to lose twice for A&M to win the division. But a win over ranked Kentucky, they'd be beating LSU if they were to win out. They'd need a lot of other things to happen. But, I mean, in terms of plausibility, anyone else with two losses you could begin to build a case for?
You know, I think you got it right, hit right on the head. The only other team might be a Washington, which had the field goal go off to the right against Oregon, but they really haven't played a Texas A&M type of schedule. And if Clemson dominates down the stretch and Alabama dominates down the stretch, and those are the only two losses, and like you said, there's a little bit of chaos going on there, I could see A&M sneaking into the picture.
All right, be quick and painless on Rice. Would you take 30 with the Owls against North Texas?
North Texas off a loss. Mason Fine. No, I'll take North Texas. Sorry.
That qualifies as quick and painless, which gets us to U of H and South Florida. Mother Nature's coming through, Phil. It's going to be beautiful, about 80 degrees on Saturday afternoon game. Cougars at home at 6-1. USF, not the glamour directional Florida team, right? That's Central with the long winning streak. But USF, 21st in the country, 7-0, possible downer. Ed Oliver, they're calling game day decision after he got cut blocked on Saturday. I'm not saying that would mean a 7-point difference in the line, but how do you factor that in? The Cougars favored 7.5.
Yeah, I'd like to see Ed Oliver play, but I don't think Houston even needs him. I think Houston is a legitimate team, a legitimate ace, American Conference contender this year. Well, I look at South Florida. To me, they're lucky they're not 2-5 this year. I mean, Georgia Tech outgained them by 176 yards. Illinois, they trailed by two scores in the fourth quarter, managed to escape. East Carolina, if you watch that game and didn't know whose uniforms were what, you would have thought East Carolina was the ranked team and South Florida wasn't. They had a 24-9 first down edge, somehow lost. Tulsa led them by two scores in the fourth quarter. And then they played lowly Connecticut, who's been losing by like 42 points per game, and managed to get past them by 8 points last week. So it's a South Florida team that's been doing it with smoke. They've been doing it with mirrors, and now they're going on the road and playing a real team. The first team all season they've taken on that has a winning record in FBS play. I'm looking for Houston to win that one by a couple of scores.
All right, Cougars, happy to hear that. Group of five landscape, Phil. If the Cougars were to win out, and that means beating Central Florida at Central Florida, well, maybe Temple has something to say about that. But is the major bowl bid there for the taking? Is it going to be the AAC champ?
Yeah, I think if Ed Oliver's around with that offense, they've got the Marquinez. Now, keep in mind, the Mountain West is going to offer up a pretty good team, possibly. Fresno State's got that possibility. Utah State's got the possibility. But I think Houston has a little bit more going for it, the fact they beat Arizona handily like they did. I would say if Houston wins out, they probably are the favorite right now to grab that spot.
All right, Phil, as we wrap it for the week, riff through the info one more time.
You're a heck of a guy, Charlie. Once again, head to my website, philsteele.com. Lots of great information up there every day. But on Friday morning, I will have a great little thing for you, a tour of the Phil Steele Plus, and get some selections. They are on a roll. And then go for my top seven plays of the week, go to ESPN.com/Phil Steele. Also get my Vegas power ratings there. That's ESPN.com/Phil Steele. And finally, if you want all 55 games, get my computer's projection on each one, my projection on each one. Over the last 5 weeks, the college selections, 22-11-1, and after a slow start in the NFL, nice win last week, you get possibly three NFL plays this week. Get my college and NFL, normally $29.99, this week just $9.99, when you go to InsideThePressBox.com and type in the code word cover, or get $20 off any seasonal package. That's InsideThePressBox.com, type in the code word cover.
Phil, fun schedule of games this week. I know you shall enjoy. Talk with you in November next week.
Sounds great, Charlie, and should be a good weekend for your Orange men.
I certainly hope so. There's our college football preview every Thursday until Thanksgiving week, when we'll tweak to likely Wednesday. All right, a break to take past the bottom of the hour. That'll leave us about a segment and a half of material. Standing start on the phones. I can take a couple if you want in on Texans-Dolphins, aggravated by the Rockets, or other, the HRNP listener line. That is the call-in number, 713 713- 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Emailers and tweeters, I will play catch up as the show and then afternoon continue. Message here for Bill Advisor, highlighting their direct home insurance offering. It's been, I believe, a little over 3 months now, and the average homeowner with a switch to Bill Advisor home insurance saving about $800 per year. It's a very simple exercise to at least see what they have to offer you. In about 15 seconds, you can get a firm insurance quote with terms using nothing but a single text message. Just text the word money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. That'll quick jumpstart the process. They'll ask for your address. You send that back. And in about 15 seconds, you'll get that quote with coverage term. Real savings, real coverage via Bill Advisor, and really, really fast. Forget about 15 minutes, about 15 seconds to save and perhaps save a lot on your homeowner's insurance. There's no obligation with the text, so why would you not give it a whirl? Again, just text money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323, and you're this close to getting that home insurance quote directly from Bill Advisor. Tell him you heard it on ESPN 97.5 or SportsMap 94.1.
You got a little, you can use much more. Boom, boom, boom.
This is ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.